That's it.
Okay, so we're going to begin learning Hilchos Brachos together. First off, I want to thank the organizers of the Neshe, Mrs. Azran, Mrs. Moskowitz, Mrs. Middleman, and Mrs. Fantel for arranging these shurim, Shavuos Chus, for everybody. I also want to thank Mrs. Carlin for graciously hosting it in her apartment. This is Lila Nishmas, Carlin's grandmother, Galia Yehudis Bas Elimelech Halevi, and it's also my grandfather's yahrzeit today, tonight. My father's father, David Ben Moshe Halevi, so it's Lila Nishmas, both of them.
And the beautiful flyer. I don't know who made that.
Oh, and Mrs. Cohn, for making the beautiful flyer. It's very exciting to start with Hilchos Brachos, specifically, because besides the fact that brachas is so hard, Hilchos Brachos is so difficult, and we'll get to that in a second, but also, brachas are really the keystone of Yiddishkeit. You know, everybody's obligated to daven, but davening, very often, you can't do it. You know, so especially for women, if situations come up where it's too difficult to daven and you have to take care of your children and you have other responsibilities, you don't have to daven. However, brachas are something you always have to make. There's no getting out of making brachas. No matter what, if you want to eat something, you have to make a bracha. And you see that brachas are something which are there's no way around. And in halacha also, even situations, there are many situations which men are also not obligated to daven, but a bracha is something you're always obligated to make. And the reason is very simple. The reason is that the keystone and the cornerstone of Yiddishkeit is to thank Hashem, to recognize that Hashem is in our lives, to recognize what He gives to us, what He brings for, what He brings to the table. The Matzio says that when we say in a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, the King of the world, what we're saying is that He dominates over the world, and more specifically, that this apple that I'm about to make a bracha on was earmarked specifically for me. Hashem made it grow, Hashem made it blossom, and Hashem formed the apple, caused it to be picked, and addressed it specifically with my name on it. When I make that bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, I'm giving my thanks for Hashem for delivering food onto my table. If we get food, we get sustenance, and we get we get all the good things that we get from Hashem. The basic requirement and the basic understanding of every person who gives a little thought into what it means to be created and to be supplied from a Kaddish Baruch Hu with everything that we have and every good thing and everything that gives us pleasure and enjoyment and life in this life, understands that there's no way we can get by without thanking Hashem, without giving some acknowledgement. More than that, brachas are really our opportunity to bring Hashem into our lives every day, all days, and the whole day, and every situation. A bracha is something you can be, you know, in the most craziest situation and you want to eat something, you make a bracha, and then right then and there you've just brought Hashem into that part of your life. Tefillah requires a certain amount of quiet, a certain amount of yishuv hadas. You have to be able to concentrate, you have to be able to think, you have to stand in one place. All sorts of requirements. None of those requirements apply for brachas. You can be flying in the air, flying after your kids jumping and screaming, but you have to make a bracha. And when you make that bracha, you're taking a couple of seconds from your life and using it to connect to Hashem. That's why brachas are the best and the most essential and the most basic opportunity and requirement and obligation that we have to connect with Hashem daily and all day. Okay. Now, Hilchos Brachos are very complex, and I thought we should begin with the halachas of Ikar and Tafel specifically, because Ikar and Tafel, the halachas of when you eat two foods together, how to determine which bracha you should make, should you make two brachas, should you make one bracha, by far is one of the least understood parts of Hilchos Brachos, and is the part where you are most likely to, you know, get confused. There's so many different components and so many different factors that affect what the halacha is, and we'll try to clarify it as best as possible. However, I was speaking to my father-in-law today, Rabbi Bess from Los Angeles, and he was telling me, he had told me this story before, it was funny, that he, as when he was young and he was learning Hilchos Brachos for the first time, so he wrote up a whole sheet of questions that he had, and he was planning on calling Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal, the Rav of Washington Heights, to call. You know, he knew his reputation, he was so clear and so concise about all his halachas, and he thought, after I have all my questions, I'll call him and ask him all the questions. So finally he calls up Rav Shimon Schwab and he starts asking his questions, and Rav Shimon Schwab told him, why are you asking me? I only have questions. You want to know the answers? Call someone from Pirchei. They know Hilchos Brachos. So this is so even great people have difficulty coming to a clarity in Hilchos Brachos, and a large part of it is because so much of the cases which are clarified in Halacha don't exactly relate to the cases that we have today. The foods are so diverse and so different, and even if we can, you know, figure out one case, but there are so many different variations, and we have to try to figure out what is the halacha in that specific case. More than that, as we'll learn, a lot of these halachas are subjective. It depends on the particular person's preference, what he has in mind, what do most people have in mind. So it's sometimes very difficult to come to clarity on this, but we'll try our best. I want to say again before I start that everybody is welcome to either email or leave a message on my email address, any questions that you would have after the shiur, obviously, and I'll either answer it or address it in the shiur or say I don't know, the last one probably being very likely, and you can also suggest things that should be dealt with and should be spoken about in the future, and I'll see, you know, if possible we'll try to get to that. Okay, so let's begin. The translation of Iker and Tafel, the concept of Iker and Tafel, is that when you have two foods which are being eaten together, and one is the primary food and one is the secondary food, that would be translation of Iker and Tafel, so you only make one bracha. So first, before we begin, this would be A, the concepts of Iker and Tafel. Let's try to understand why is it that you only make one bracha on an Iker and a Tafel. The reason is as follows. Everybody understands, this is simple, that when you, let's say, for example, eat a cake. Now, when you think about it, a cake has a lot of ingredients in it. It has flour, it has sugar, it has water, it can have nuts. So there's all sorts of things in your cake, right? And each one of those has its own bracha. Flour, once it's baked, is mezainis. Sugar is shehakel. Water is shehakel. Nuts are ha'etz. But no one has any question that you only make one bracha. So why is that? Because everybody understands that a cake is one unit. Cake is not, it is comprised of many different ingredients. But once you're done, it's one unit, it's one item, and therefore you only make one bracha on it. So that's why it's very clear for us to understand the concept that Chazal only made one bracha per item. If it's one item, it could have 16 ingredients in it, but once you're done and it's one complete, finished product, there's only one bracha made on that product. So that is pashut, and that's very easy to understand. The Chazal, though, extended this a step further, and they said that there are other situations where two things can be combined, and where one of those are considered just complementing the other one. It's just giving it taste. It's just helping you eat the other one in various different situations that we'll be discussing as we go along. So there also, Chazal looked at it that in reality, this is really only one food item. We don't consider this two food items. And being that it's looked at as only one item, one combined food item has only one bracha, not two brachas. That's the concept, that's the underlying concept of Iker V'Tafel. So the underlying concept and all the halachas we're going to be learning are going to be help us determine when do we consider something two and when do we consider something one. That's going to be the point of this shir. To the first part of this shir, we're going to try to understand what makes things into two and what makes things into one. When is something subject to the halachas of Iker V'Tafel? When is something a situation that you only make one bracha and we just have to figure out which one? And when is something a situation that it's simple that you make two brachas because they aren't one item? Right? So that's what we're going to figure out right now. I want to point out, which is it's number six over here, but I want to point it out before we begin, that the halachas of Iker V'Tafel are not a choice. It's not something that you can say, well, it's true, I can get away with making one bracha, but hey, let me make two brachas. You know, you're supposed to say 100 brachas every day. The more, the better. That's not the way it works. The halacha is in Hilchas Brachas that if you make a bracha which you are not required to make, it's a bracha she'ena tzricha, and is just about equivalent to a bracha levatala. Or in other words, a bracha she'ena tzricha, which means literally a bracha which is not necessary, a bracha which you are making which is not necessary to be made, is equivalent to a bracha levatala, a bracha which is made in vain, and which is a very serious avera. So whereas we are obligated to make brachas, and it's a chiyuv to make brachas, it's an obligation, and you have to make the correct bracha, but it's not a choice to make more brachas just to make sure you have your bases covered, or because you're not sure what the halacha is, so therefore you'll just make as many brachas as necessary to keep you covered. That's not an option. That would be a bracha she'ena tzricha, and that's not permitted. So it's very important to understand the halachas of Ikra Tafa specifically, whereas in the other parts of Hilchas Brachas, you know, you'll make a bracha, so most of the time, whatever bracha you'll make, for the most part, you'll be yaitzei. Over here, by making more brachas than are necessary, you will be ivar and avera, and therefore, it's something which you have to understand very well. When do you have to make two brachas and when not? Okay, so, again, being that the concept is of Ikar V'Tafel, the concept is that we need to know when we can view the two items as one item and when we don't view them as one item. So let's say, for example, you have on your plate, you have meat, you know, a piece of chicken, and you have salad on your plate. And you're eating them together. You know, you cut up your chicken into pieces, and then you have some salad, and you eat them both on the fork together. Would that be an Ikar V'Tafel? Would that be a situation where you just make one bracha? So everybody, I hope, at home makes two brachas, obviously, if you have chicken and you have salad on your plate. Why not? Why wouldn't that be Ikar V'Tafel? I would think the main part of the meal is the chicken, and the salad is a side dish. By definition, that should be an Ikar V'Tafel. You should just make one bracha. So again, here is a situation where there are two foods, it's true. One is the main part of the dish, and one is the secondary part of the dish, but they're not complementing each other. You eat them together, you like to eat them together, but they're not made to be eaten as one unit. The chicken and the salad is not one unit. It's not a chicken salad. A chicken salad would be a different story. But chicken and salad on your plate is not one unit, not by any stretch of the imagination. No one looks at it that way, and no one considers it like that. Likewise, you have chicken and mashed potatoes. You have chicken and whole potatoes, or any other combination that you have on your plate, even if you have something which is mezainous. Let's say you have couscous or something like that. It doesn't make any difference. The two things are not one unit. They're not considered one unit. It's not a salad. It's not a mixture. It's nothing. It's not a spread. It's not in no shape or form one combined unit. So in any situation where there's two distinct foods, even though you happen to be eating them together, even though you put them on the fork at the same time, it will not have the halach of Ikar V'Tafel. It remains two separate foods, and you have to make two brachas on it. Another interesting application of this is where you have... Yeah, go ahead.
Does it make a difference how you serve it?
Meaning?
If I have a salad with chicken in it, it's meant...
So that's a chicken salad.
It's a lettuce salad with chicken.
Right. So if it's cut up into small little pieces and it's all mixed together, so then yes,
but
then
if
it's perceived differently.
If I make it on my plate, let's say I have grilled chicken on my plate and I have salad on my plate.
And then you combine it. That's fine. Yeah.
So either way, it's
the whatever the kavana or the idea of the person who served it is not what's important. It's how you prepare it for yourself. How you plan on eating it. So if you combined it into one salad and you cut it up and made one salad out of it, yes, that would change the halacha. And then it would become a chicken salad. Rather than just being chicken and salad.
So if I actively mix everything up on my plate.
And then make your bracha.
And then make my bracha.
Correct. That, then it would be one unit. Right.
You're
and that would have a different halacha.
Lettuce?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We didn't get to figure out what the bracha is, but we'll get to that. Okay. But in any case, when they're separate and they're two distinct items on your plate, even though you happen to be eating them together at one time, that does not constitute an Ikar V'Tafel. Again, another possibility of this, another application of this, which is interesting, is when sometimes you have a decorative item, like, for example, you have egg salad, which is decorated by vegetables, or you have fruit, like you have a grapefruit, which was someone put some blueberries or strawberries or something like that on top to decorate it. So it's not meant to be eaten together. That's not the purpose. It was put there to decorate. You don't eat your, you know, a little slice of grapefruit together with a piece of blueberry. That's not the purpose of it, and that's not the way you eat it either. You eat them individually. So even though one is decorating the other one, so one is very clearly the ikar, and the other one is very clearly secondary, but it's not meant to be one unit. It's just a decoration. So in that situation also, those would be two separate distinct foods, and they would not constitute an ikar v'tafel. And it would not go into this question at all, and it would be simple that you would have to make two brachas in that situation.
Even if you're eating them together.
Even if you choose to eat them together, because it would be the same like eating the salad and the chicken together. You're eating two distinct foods, you're eating them at the same time, it still requires two brachas, yes. Now, that having been said, so where is it then that we do have the situation of ikar tafel? So you can have it in a number of different possibilities, and you know, where, like one case like was just mentioned, if you made it into a salad, a chicken salad, it was cut up, so then you've made it into one unit, so now we have to figure out what the status of the salad is. And likewise, soups, stews, dips, etc., those are all situations where the different components have been combined into one unit, and that is where the question of ikar v'tafel will arise. What's the correct bracha, what's the ikar, and what's the tafel, and how many brachas should you make? Two more points I want to point out about the halachas of ikar v'tafel before we go into the specific cases of ikar v'tafel, and that is as follows. When something does have the status of ikar v'tafel, like I said before, you can only make one bracha, and it's not a choice to make two brachas. However, if for whatever reason you choose only to eat the tafel, right? So let's say, for example, you have a cake, and the cake has icing, and you are not interested in the cake, you're just interested in taking a swipe of the icing with your finger when no one's looking, and the cake, whatever, you know, the cake you're not eating right now. So then, even though the icing is clearly a tafel to the cake, but being that you're not eating the cake, all you're eating is the icing, you would then make a bracha on the tafel. And this also shows us an interesting thing, which is important to understand about ikar v'tafel. When we say you make one bracha on an ikar v'tafel, that doesn't mean that one of the foods doesn't require a bracha. That's incorrect. Everything requires a bracha. There's no such thing as eating without a bracha. You always have to eat with a bracha. It just means that the bracha that you're making on the primary food works for the secondary food too, because they're considered one unit. So you're making a bracha, like when you make a bracha on a cake, you're making on the flour and it covers the sugar and the walnuts and everything. But it doesn't mean that the other part doesn't need a bracha. So, and that, therefore, if you went and separated the ikar from the tafel, and you decided to just eat the tafel, just eat the cream, and not eat any part of the actual cake, you will be required to make a bracha, and an individual bracha, and the bracha of that tafel. So therefore, when you swipe that cream, you will have to make a shahakal, although, you know, were you to eat the cake at a later time, you'll just make a mezainis, but now that you're just eating the tafel, and you're eating the tafel first, you will be required to make a shahakal. Likewise, by the same reasoning, if it's the other way around, which means you ate the ikar, for example, let's say you ate cereal and milk, and we'll discuss soon in what situation cereal and milk is an ikar and a tafel, but let's assume it is, right? Let's assume that cereal and milk constitutes an ikar and a tafel. You only make a bracha on the cornflakes or on the Cheerios, you make a mezainis, and you don't make a shahakal on the milk. So it's an ikar and a tafel. And then you finished all the Cheerios, and now there's some milk left. So even when you're drinking that milk, you still don't make a bracha. You don't have to make a shahakal, even though you finished all the ikar, you finished all the mezainis. Why is that? Because you've made a bracha on the milk, right? An ikar and a tafel doesn't mean you haven't made a bracha on the tafel. You have made a bracha on the tafel. Being that it was combined, and it was considered one food, and the milk was a part and parcel of this cereal, and it was just cereal milk, so therefore the correct bracha was mezainis. So the bracha on this milk, currently, was mezainis. You made it, and you made a bracha on it. You only make one bracha per thing. You don't make a bracha more than once. So even though you've already finished the mezainis part of the cereal, even though you finished the Cheerios, doesn't make a difference, you still do not make a new bracha on the milk. It's all included in the original bracha. This is important to understand. Okay, so just to review quickly what we've said. What we've said is that the concept of ikar v'tafel is based on the idea that when one food item, even though it can have many ingredients, being that it's one item, being that it's one portion and it's one unit, it's clear that you don't have to make two brachas, and you actually don't have a choice to make two brachas. You can only make one bracha on it, and that was extended to any situation where two distinct food items, but were combined in one way or another, whether in a salad, whether in a spread, whether as a dip. However, if they were combined in whatever shape or form, they also get the status of one food item and only require one bracha. That one bracha, though, covers both. The one bracha that you are required to make covers the ikur and the tafel. It's a bracha on the ikur and it's a bracha on the tafel. Therefore, if you finish the ikur, you finish the mezainis or whatever it was that was the main primary food, you still don't make a bracha on the whatever's left of the tafel because you have already made a bracha on it. And conversely, if you did not make a bracha on the ikur because you're not tasting the ikur at all, you're just tasting the tafel, like the case where you took a little cream off the cake, you would make a shahakal because a tafel requires a bracha like everything else. If you eat the ikur, then that's the bracha you make, but once you separate them, you make a shahakal on the tafel. But two foods which are totally not combined into one unit, like chicken and salad or any other such situation, there, even though you're eating them at one time, you're eating them simultaneously, they will not be considered an ikur v'tafel, and you will have to make two brachas. So now let's go on to the second step. So the way I organized it here is I first wrote what are the factors used to determine the ikur. And then I started going into the categories of what different types of ikur v'tafel. The reason is because the last category of what's ikur and what's tafel is very long, as you see on the other side of the sheet. You know, there's many, many different applications. And hopefully by next week we will be able to go into all the specific applications, you know, each one. So before we get to that, let's try to understand when we have two foods that are combined in one of the various ways that foods can be combined. How do we determine what's the ikur, and how do we determine what's the tafel, and how do we perhaps determine that there is no ikur v'tafel, and the two things are equivalent, the two things are on equal footing, and you do have to make two brachas. So the first and primary thing used to decide if something is an ikur or if something is a tafel, which one is the primary and which one is the secondary food, the first factor is what is the purpose. What is the purpose of this food? For example, if someone is eating... for argument's sake, peaches and cream, assuming people still eat that. So peaches are eitz, cream is a shahakal. Now, even though you might be, depending on your particular taste, you might be eating a lot of cream, and there could be a lot more cream than the peaches, but everybody understands that the main purpose of what you're eating here, the main thing is the peaches, and the cream are there to give some flavor and some sweetness to the peaches. Now, if you're a child that's eating, you know, one peach and using the same peach to eat a lot of cream, so then, okay, then the halacha might change. But for an adult that's eating really a peach, and, you know, there is some cream on the plate, and he's dipping the peach into the cream, so regardless of the amount of cream that's on the plate, the ikur over there is going to be the peach. The peach is the main part. I mean, the peach is the main component over here. The cream is only giving to give flavor. It's there to flavor and give taste to the peach. So, purpose is always the first thing we have to, when we look at a dish, we have to see what is the purpose of these two things. Is one coming to complement the other, or is it not? What was the question?
I was going to ask: is it like based on what people want?
Is it subjective?
Right. So, like, you have a chicken soup. Some people want it just for the chicken and the liquid. Some people want the vegetables.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so excellent. So, very much so. The purpose is something which is very subjective, like I was just saying with a child or with an adult. It's a very subjective thing. And that being the case, sometimes it can be a little confusing, you know, because it not only is it subjective, it can also change from time to time. Let me give you an example. If you eat cereal and milk, right? So, cereal and milk, you're eating, let's say, cornflakes and milk, right? Now, this can be viewed in a few different ways. You can say like this. You can say, the main thing is the cornflakes. Cornflakes is my breakfast. Cornflakes don't taste all that good when they're dry. They don't go down that well. They scratch your throat. So you add milk. That's the way it's meant to be eaten, and that complements the cornflakes. It makes it geschmack to eat. It makes it fun to eat. It goes down. Now, other people say, no, really, what I would do is I would drink a glass of milk. I want a glass of milk with my breakfast. So you possibly put in quite a large amount of milk in your cornflakes for the purpose of consuming a lot of milk. You have a purpose in your mind, not just to complement the cornflakes, but the milk in and of itself is one of the things you're planning on eating for this breakfast. So here you could have a situation which can even change from day to day. You can one day be eating your cornflakes, and that's the main part of your breakfast, and you add perhaps not so much milk. Not that it makes a difference exactly how much milk you add, but regardless, the milk is only being added for the purpose of helping the cornflakes go down, making them more sweet, making them more tasty. And then it's clear from your purpose that the milk is a tafel, the milk is the secondary food, the milk is only making the cornflakes easier to eat, and you will only make the bracha of the cornflakes, which is a hadama, and you will not make a shahakal on the milk. However, in the situation where you added a lot of milk, and after you finish the cornflakes, you drink up all that milk, because you really did plan on having milk as a main staple in your breakfast, and it is a main component of your diet, and that's very much what you're trying to eat. So in that situation, the milk is not a tafel. You have a dish here which has two separate parts. They happen to be, you're eating them together because they taste good together. But there's neither one of them can be considered the ikar, and neither one can be considered the tafel. They're on equal footing. You have the cornflakes and you have the milk. Neither one, both are important, both serve a purpose to you, and both are there for their own purpose, and they're just being eaten together because they taste good that way. In that situation, neither one is the ikar, therefore, you have to make two brachas. So let me explain. In other words, I'm not saying that they aren't one unit. They are one unit. Right? Well, you combined them. You made a salad out of them. You made a mixture out of them. But even when you do make a mixture out of them, the only time you make one bracha is if one is the ikar and one is the tafel. Here we have a situation where they're both ikar. They're both primary. In that situation, even though it's been combined, even though it's been made into one unit, even though you've made a cereal out of it, you've added milk to it, won't make a difference, it will be still one, it'll be two brachas. It'll be a bracha on the cereal and a separate bracha on the milk. So yes, to answer your question, purpose is quite subjective, very much dependent on what you particularly have in mind when you're trying to eat this mixture. Now, after purpose, meaning to say, there are situations where the two items, neither one of them have a particular purpose. Meaning to say, let me give you an example. You have a fruit salad, right? And your fruit salad has some bananas in it, which are ha'adama, and it has apples and other components, which are ha'etz. So here you have a salad, which has a bunch of different parts. And by definition, a salad, neither part of it is an ikar, or either part is a tuffle. It's a salad, right? It's made of different parts. Every part is an equal, as important part of the salad as the next one. Right? Yet, at the same time, it doesn't have the clarity of milk, meaning to say that I want milk and I want cereal. That's not the situation. You're eating a salad. You don't want bananas and apples and just mixing it together. You're eating a salad because you want one unit, you want a salad. So there, it is, even by what your thought process is, it's one unit, it's a salad. There's no part here you want more than the other one. And at the same time, you don't specifically want both. You don't want both for each one for its own use. You don't need to eat apples and bananas. You just want to eat a fruit salad. So then we need to use a different way to determine which is the ikar of the salad and which is the tafel. And the method we use, the factor is, which is the majority. The majority will determine what is the ikar of the salad. If the majority of this fruit salad is ha'etz, is apples, oranges, and etc., you add them all together, and there's much more of apples, oranges, and whatever it is than bananas, then it'll be ha'etz. If the majority of the fruit salad is bananas, pineapples, and other things which are ha'adama, then it'll be ha'adama. If it's indeterminable, it's 50-50, you don't have to start laying it out and counting it, you just make ha'adama. And you get away with that. So again, just to understand clearly the difference between cereal and milk and a fruit salad. And this is an important thing to understand. Cereal and milk, you want both. You want cereal and you want milk. Technically, it's like your chicken and your salad. And I hate to compare that to cereal and milk, but it's the two separate things over here on your plate, which you want to eat both of them. They're both an important part of your supper, both an important part of your breakfast. You're combining them. Being that neither one is an ikar or a tafel, in the case where you want to eat both, the milk is important to you, so therefore it does not become an ikar or a tafel. You make a bracha on the cereal, you make a bracha on the milk. That's not the case with a fruit salad. A fruit salad is a salad, and it's meant to be a salad, and then its importance to you is a salad. the components of it are all, neither one is more important than the other one. It's just there to make a salad, to be combined, to create one unit. Therefore, by definition, there can only be one bracha on this. Neither one of it is, there is no specific part of this which you want specifically more than the other one. You don't want both for a special reason. You just want it as one salad. You just want it to serve as one unit. So therefore, there can only be one bracha on it. Therefore, you use the second factor, meaning the majority factor, to determine which one, which bracha to make on it.
Go ahead. So would it be similar to the cereal and milk example for like a pecan pie or like a cake with like pecans or something?
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose is like, oh, I want those pecans that are in the cake, but also you want the cake aspect because that's why you had the cake.
Okay.
Would that be similar to the cereal as well?
It could be. I mean, it's unusual. In other words, by a cake generally being that it's baked together, it's usually not viewed that way. In other words, it's not treated that way. But you could have a situation like that. In other words, you could have a situation where you have two things, even if they are baked together, but the components are each one important for itself, or more than that, like you're saying, one is much more important than the other one. And yeah, then the halacha would change. Okay, like I said, we'll try to get to each specific case, because what you hear already that the two cases we're talking about, cereal and milk, and fruit salad, the difference is not such a clear-cut, you know, black and white difference. You hear it's the difference of how you look at it and how you perceive it will make the difference in halacha, and it's not such a big difference, mm-hmm. right? So that's what confuses a lot of the cases, and we'll try to again deal with each one again. But again, the rule of thumb is: are when you're looking at the food in front of you, are you looking at particular components and say, oh, I want to eat this, and oh, I want to eat that, then they're two separate things, and you have to see which one is dikur, which one is the tuffel. If they're both equal, make two brachas. If you're looking at the thing and you're saying, okay, this is one thing, right, I just want to eat the salad, I don't want to eat apples and pears and whatever, I don't have any specific here thing that I want to eat, I just want to eat it as one salad, that's the way you perceive it, that's its purpose, that's how it's being presented, and that's what it means to you, so then it only has one bracha, and that's determined by the majority.
What about like a lettuce salad that you're adding fruit to?
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit is really what's going to give it the flavor.
Okay.
The lettuce is kind of just there to make it
right.
A salad.
Okay, but there also, being that it's a salad, right? So even though the fruit is an important component of it,
so
right?
Like,
but it's not the majority. Right, it's not the majority.
It's there, even though it doesn't
right.
go by one.
It'll just be the minority. Right, right. Yeah. Now, the one exception to both of these previous halachas, and this is not always an exception, and I'll try to explain how this works. But number three is the exception. A wheat ingredient, a wheat component, and wheat means all the chamesh haminim, which is wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats. So anything made from one of those five specifically stands in a category by itself. And the reason for this is that in Chazal considered anything made out of wheat or anything which is made out of any one of these five grains to have a special importance. And its importance, that one thing is clear, its importance trumps the importance of the majority. Meaning to say, if you have, let's say, a salad in front of you, and the salad has couscous in it, right? It's couscous together with vegetables, right? So even though maybe there are many, much more vegetables than there is couscous or whatever else that, you know, what other mezonos that you mixed in there. So even though there can be many more of the of the vegetable or the fruit or whatever else is in there, that could be the majority of the salad is the hadama or the ha'etz, and the minority of the salad is what's mezonos. Chazal said, something which is mezainis has its own importance, and that trumps over majority and minority. Even though what's mezainis is the minority, it's still going to always be considered the ikar. That's clear. Mezainis does not make a difference if it's a minority. When you have something which is a salad, when you have something which is a combined one-unit salad, and you want to figure out what should be considered the main component of the salad, mezainis will always trump. Mezainis will always be considered the main component of the salad. But, and this is a big but, the point to understand is as follows. The concept is, and this is a concept that you have to understand, and it'll help us understand as we go through all the cases, but this is the concept. The idea is that mezainis dominates, which means to say, you have a salad, right, and you have different parts of the salad. So we look at the mezainis, we look at the wheat ingredient, that it's dominating this salad. It's a mezainis salad. Yes, there's a lot of vegetables, and yes, there's a lot of other things or whatever else you put in there, but no, mezainis is so important, mezainis is so chashev, mezainis dominates, mezainis, it's a mezainis salad. Likewise with a chalent, right? Chalent has potatoes, it has meat, all those things are very chashev to us, but the chazal, no. The barley, that's mezainis, that dominates over the chalent, even though it can be the minority of the chalent, could be you don't like barley so much, but if there is a decent amount of barley in there, enough that it's, you know, not just a few kernels, but there is some decent amount of barley there, the barley dominates. However, I want to clarify this point, and like I said, when we go into the specific cases, we'll explain each case. If you add a couple of croutons to a salad, right, and it's just to give it some crunch, that everybody understands the croutons don't dominate the salad. And there's no way that you could look at this as a crouton salad. By definition, croutons are not a part of a salad. Croutons are just it's just something added to give crunch, to give some flavor. In that situation, or you add croutons to a soup, they will not dominate no matter what. So again, even though we say that something which is mezainis will dominate the salad, and we'll say that no, it doesn't make a difference, it's a minority, it still takes over the whole salad, because like I said, we perceive it as the mezainis salad. We don't perceive it as the hadama lettuce salad or ha'et salad or whatever else. We say, no, this is a salad that mainly, the main part of it, the main salad here is the mezainis. However, if the item you're adding is clearly just added as an afterthought to the salad. It's just added to give some crunch, just added to give some spice. Although it's a mezainis, there's no way in the world it can be looked as this is a mezainis salad. Therefore, it will not change the bracha of the whole salad into a mezainis. So that's what's important. It's an example. But again, the thing to understand is that wheat, a wheat ingredient, will dominate, and doesn't make a difference if it's a minority or not, it will still be considered the main component of a salad, but the idea is because it's dominating, and because you can reassess this salad and look at it as a wheat salad, a mezainis salad, a couscous salad, chalent, a barley chalent, so on and so forth, we can look at it that way, and that's why it will dominate and it'll be a mezainis no matter what. However, where it's just a side, an extra addition just for the purpose of, taste or crunch, then it's pashut, it will not dominate the salad. Now, wheat over here is... Question? Yeah, sure.
Is there a specific amount that makes it dominate versus just...
Essentially, no. Essentially, it can be even a tiny bit and it can still dominate. But, like I said, very often the amount is indicative of why it was put there, right? If you just added a few croutons, that by itself shows you that it's just there for some crunch, right? If you just throw a few pieces of barley into a soup, you see it's there just to give some sort of appearance to the soup. It's not there to be a barley soup. That'll also make a difference. Like, we'll go, as we go, we'll go through all the cases. But yes, essentially, the amount doesn't really make a difference, but it tends to make a difference because it indicates what the purpose of the wheat ingredient is. Yeah.
This might be a totally different topic, but is this like a cocoa with a flour ingredient?
Okay, good. So it's good you brought that up. So I'm not going into foods that have ingredients. Like I said before, that's really that's out of the that's not the discussion over here of Ikkar and Tafel, right? Because Ikkar and Tafel is where you have two things which were combined. Ingredients we're going to discuss in a different shir. That's where you have one food like a cake, or so on and so forth, and the ingredients, we want to determine what's the bracha of this food, that's a different discussion, right? When you want to use it to figure out which ingredients change the halacha of its particular bracha, that's not the discussion here. Here the discussion will be when you have two distinct items which you're combining, and then we're figuring out which one's the ikkar and the tafel. I just want to mention that as far as wheat ingredients are concerned, it's only wheat, or barley, or oats, or rye, or spelt. However, rice, quinoa, buckwheat, None of those are considered chameshes aminim. None of those have, even though you make a mezainis on rice, quinoa is hadama, buckwheat is hadama, but even though you make a mezainis on rice, it does not have that status of chashivas, of the importance of chameshes aminim. And that will be dependent. If you have a salad with vegetables and with rice, if you have a mixture of vegetables and rice, and the majority is the vegetables, and there's just a little bit of rice in there, the bracha will be ha'adama on the vegetables. The rice will not trump over the vegetables, because the rice, although they're mezainis, they are not chameshes aminim, they're not one of the five grains, so they don't have this chashivas.
What about bran?
Bran does.
It does have that?
Bran does, yeah. Bran's made out of wheat. It's just a different part of the wheat.
Yeah,
the kernel.
I thought bran was shahakal, but just bran.
Oh, just bran by itself.
Like if you had bran on top of...
That could be.
It would be not, so it wouldn't be
right.
One of those.
Yeah, if it's a shahakal, then right. Then it doesn't have that chashivas, right. there are times where the wheat component can also determine the purpose, or rather, I should rather say, it can trump over the purpose. And let me give you an example. This is a confusing point, so I'm not going to deal with it right now, but I just want to mention it, that there are situations where you have, let's say, a cheesecake, right? So you have a pie crust, and then you have the cheese, right, which is by far the majority and real purpose of this cake. Everybody's coming to eat the cheese, they're not coming to eat the pie crust. Some people don't even eat the pie crust, they just scoop the cheese out and leave the pie crust behind, right? So the main purpose over here is the cheese by everybody's call, right? And yet, it's possible that being that there is a component here, which is a mezainis, it's going to trump everything and still require you to make a mezainis on it. So we're going to discuss that when we get to pies and cakes. When do you make two brachas? One bracha, mezainis, shahakal. You know, we'll discuss exactly each situation and we'll see if we can figure it out. But I'm pointing out just that the importance of number three, which is that a wheat component is more important than majority and it's more important than purpose. A wheat component always changes the situation. Anytime you have a wheat component in your mixture, it will always change the halacha. Either it will become the ikar automatically, and you will have to make only a mezainis, and you'll have to disregard the fact that it's the minority, and disregard the fact that that's not the purpose, you will still make a mezainis. Or in the very least, we will see, you will at least have to make a second bracha of mezainis, meaning to say, sometimes it won't trump, but at least it'll maintain its own bracha. It'll prevent itself from becoming a tafel. You'll always have to make at least two brachas. So anytime when we go through all our cases, we're gonna approach it as follows. We're gonna go through a case. We'll first figure out what's the halacha when there is no wheat component, and we'll figure out what's the purpose, and we'll figure out what's the majority, and we'll try to figure out what should be the ikar and what should be the tafel, or maybe perhaps it's two separate things. And then after that, we'll determine what's the halacha in that specific case when there is a wheat component, because those two things have to be figured out separately. Because the first two categories, which is purpose and majority, are applied when there's no wheat component. Once there's a wheat component, then it has to be reevaluated for itself whether the wheat component changes everything, because the wheat component isn't subject to those two previous factors. Okay, so let's just summarize what we've said so far. So we've said as follows. We've said that there is... when you have an ikar and you have a tafel in front of you, when you have two things which are combined, the first thing, provided that there's no wheat component, now that we've become that much smarter, so provided that there's no wheat component here, right, so like let's stick to cornflakes and milk then, right, so if you have cornflakes and milk in front of you, so cornflakes is adama, milk is shahakal, you have to determine what's the purpose. Is the purpose of this mixture just that you should be able to eat the cornflakes? Cornflakes is the ikar. If the purpose is you want to eat both, so then you make two brachas. However, when it's a situation where you don't want to eat both specifically, you don't want to eat cornflakes, you don't want to eat milk, or rather you have a salad, let's say a fruit salad, where it's not the apples that appeal to you specifically, it's not the bananas that appeal to you specifically, you just want to eat a salad, you want to eat one unit, then you need to use a majority. You have to figure out which one is the majority component, and if the majority is a hadama, you make a hadama. If the majority is a ha'etz, you make a ha'etz. And if you don't know, you make a hadama. Then, after you've departed from these two, and what you have in front of you is something that has a mezainis component, then you know for sure it does not make a difference if it's a majority or a minority. The mezainis component will always definitely trump, regardless if it's a majority or if it's a minority. The only exception being where the mezainis is clearly something which is not the main dominating component of a salad, for example, like croutons in a soup or croutons in a salad, then in that situation it won't dominate the salad. But where it is an essential ingredient of the salad, although it's the minority, like in chalent, it will be the main bracha and the only bracha you make. And likewise, even in situations where the purpose might be something else, the purpose might be to eat a different part of the cake, to eat a different part of the mixture, still the mezainis will, in many cases, still trump. That this halacha is limited to mezainis, meaning wheat, barley, rice, belt, and oats, but not to rice, even though it's mezainis, and not to quinoa and buckwheat, even though they are grains. Okay, so I want to conclude the shiur with this. I just want to finish with a vart that we say in the end of Nishmas. We say the Shekain, we say, and after we've said the whole Nishmas and how we have so many reasons to thank Hashem, and we have to thank Hashem with every part of our body, and we can't even begin to thank Hashem for all the things He's done for us in the past, and He continues to do for us. And then we summarize, and we say, Shekain Chayvas Kol HaYitzurim Lefanecha LaHoydus LaHal LaVarach LaAl LaKalis. It's the obligation of every creation, every person who was created, every man or woman or being that was created has an obligation to make a bracha. And it's something which is understood. If you're created and you're being sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're obligated to recognize the fact and you're obligated to thank Him. But there's another thing to keep in mind. When we start davening in the morning, provided we start from the beginning of the Siddur, so we say, Ma tovu alecha Yaakov. And then the next pasuk we say is Ani b'roi chazdecha avav esecha eshtachal lefnei Hashem lekecha. We say Ani b'roi chazdecha. You have done me a great taiva. You've done me a great chesed. You've done me the biggest favor you've done for me is that avav esecha, that I have the ability to come to daven in front of you, and I have the ability to come and give a bracha to you. I have the ability to praise you. So the obligation to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the obligation to make brachas, yes, it's an obligation, but at the same time, it's also a wonderful, beautiful opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. He's given us a wonderful chesed. He's done to us a tremendous taiva. He's allowed us and given us the opportunity to praise Him. The tremendous tzaddik and Talmud Chacham and Gadol Hadar, Rabbi Kiva Eger, at the end of his life, had a stroke, and he wasn't able to speak. He lost his ability to speak. He was able to say only one pasuk, and this is the one pasuk he kept on repeating, was Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi, Vivarach Al Bas Hashem Kach Lailam Ba. That was the only pasuk he was able to say, last pasuk in Ashrei, Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi. He was always, that was one thing, even though he had a stroke, and he wasn't able to say any other thing, but that pasuk, because that was what typified his existence. Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi. He lived to be able to give a bracha, to be able to daven to Hashem, to be able to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.